Our sermon today is based on one of the gospel readings of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It's Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there tied a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the name of the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. God bless our hearing of the word today. As I think I've shared before, I used to work with racehorses. That's what drew me from New York to Kentucky, my enchantment with all things equine. I was a groom and a hot walker, and I galloped just a little bit. I only had a little experience with breaking yearlings or one-year-old horses. I got a chance once to do what they call bellying. This is how you get a young horse used to carrying a person on its back. You're in a stall with the yearling and another person who has hold of it by the halter, and you lie on your belly across the horse's back as the other person leads it around, hence the term bellying. It helps the horse get used to the feel of having weight on its back. Breaking is usually done gradually and patiently. That makes for a better, more willing, more trusting mount. They call it breaking, but it's probably better called gentling, because every step ensures that the horse learns to trust and be obedient. You don't go out and pick an unbroken horse out of the field and all of a sudden you're riding it, except maybe unless you're Jesus. Yeah, Jesus the donkey whisperer. He must have said something to that donkey before he climbed aboard it and rode it into Jerusalem. He must have whispered something soothing to it that transformed it into the perfect mount for that moment. If only it were that easy to get an unbroken horse or donkey ready for a rider. It was a young donkey, too, because most equines aren't ready to be ridden until they're about 2 years old. Their backs are strong enough to take on the burden of a rider by then. Donkeys are quite cute, but it is a strange mount for a king. Kings ride the biggest, baddest, most beautiful animals, purebred Arabians or high-spirited thoroughbreds. A king would choose a mount that would make his subjects have to look up to him. A king would choose a mount that puts him high above the people to accent the differences between them. I'm up here and you're down there. A king would choose a horse that stands 16 hands or more. We measure horses in hands, and a hand equals 4 inches. But a donkey, a runty little donkey, what kind of king would choose a donkey to ride? Unused animals were considered sacred, and so indeed this little donkey was given a sacred duty to bring Jesus into Jerusalem in accordance with the prophecy from Zechariah that we heard earlier. Jesus' feet must have been scraping the ground as his little mink mount made its way through the streets. Luckily, people had thrown down their cloaks and branches that they'd cut to cushion the road for the donkey. They didn't have to bend their necks back to see Jesus. Jesus rode at eye level among the people, right there with them, on the humblest of equine escorts. What a difference it made from the usual triumphant parades the people of Jerusalem witnessed. They were used to seeing the victorious leader on a prancing, snorting war horse, twice or even 3 times the size of the animal leading this particular parade. People would wave olive branches as the procession continued, but they did so without much enthusiasm. It's hard to muster up enthusiasm when you're compelled to yell out accolades or else. This parade was so different. How refreshing to be part of something you believed in, something you wanted to happen and have been waiting for so long. How refreshing to be hailing someone who was on your side and who was there to ride in solidarity with you. This guy is for us, the people thought. This guy is the one who's going to make everything all right for us. Hosanna, save now, hooray for our side. As their shouts grew louder and louder, I wonder how the little donkey, away from its mother, among this teeming crowd, I wonder how it felt. I wonder how it kept calm without bleeding and bolting. One horse I groomed was named Genuine Joy, but she was not. She was nervous and flighty, so much so that when we exercised or raced her, we had to stuff her ears with cotton so she wouldn't hear any loud noises or go berserk. Jesus, the donkey whisperer, had cast a decided spell over the inexperienced, unbroken donkey on which he rode. Somehow his very presence and persona imparted itself to the donkey, keeping it calm and steady so that it didn't run off with him or buck him off or shy away from the shouting. That's the effect Jesus has on wild and woolly creatures. His touch, his voice, his whole demeanor does something to them, calms them down and makes them available and attuned to him. He gentles them. Perhaps this little donkey laid back its long ears to hear Jesus speaking. Be calm, little one. Be steady. There is nothing to fear. It's exactly the kinds of things Jesus whispers into our ears. Be calm, be steady, fear not, I am with you. Yes, we were once like unbroken donkeys, unprepared and unknowing, ready to bolt and bray and run away. Then Jesus took hold of us, and just with his touch, just with his voice, Jesus gentled us. He tamed our wild hearts and made them beat in tune with his. Suddenly, we were tractable. Suddenly, we were usable. We turned our ears to catch the words of comfort and challenge that he whispered to us. Be still. Go forth. Rejoice. We were not coerced into following him. He didn't come to us with sword unsheathed and threats and tramplings. He came to you as you would approach any untamed, weary beast in the field with a soothing voice and a promise to take care of us and to bring us safely into his keeping, to feed us and train us. Donkeys can be pretty stubborn sometimes, planting their feet and refusing to move as someone tugs on their halter, trying to drag them forward. We can be pretty stubborn sometimes as well, planting our feet and refusing to move, even as Jesus invites us into his care and keeping. But instead of yelling at us, he whispers to us, removing our fears and exciting our hearts with the enticement of riding along with him into a new and glorious future. That was exactly what the crowd milling around Jesus and the donkey expected, something new and exciting and glorious, an end to Roman rule, the beginning of their independence. It was a triumph before the battle. The people were sure that now the Messiah was here, things were going to be so different. Things were going to go their way. Yes, the good times and the new era were going to start now. Yes, Hosanna in the highest. If they only knew. The people thought Jesus was about to lead a massive movement that would finally overthrow their enemies, the Roman occupiers. Their king was here. But their idea of a king was vastly different than Jesus's. They thought of a king coming in with weapons of war and wrath. They thought of a king slaying every last foe and putting them in charge at last. They had no idea that this king had no intention of doing that. This king had no intention of destroying and dooming others to make all those enemies surrender and succumb. This king had come to surrender himself. He had come not to defy, but to die, not to make a way for his own gain, but to gain eternal life for all who believed in and followed him. If only they knew, would they have been so eager to parade alongside Jesus then? Would they have waved their branches a little less avidly? Would they have shouted so resoundingly if they had only known? Would they have listened to his whisper of a kingdom of peace and harmony for all people? Would they have listened to his whisper telling them to love their enemies and to give so they could receive a blessing? Or to his whisper telling them to take care of the poor among them and to turn the other cheek? We've heard those whispers. They should tame us and turn us to do wonderful, unexpected things in Jesus' name. Once we hear him, we should heed him. Once we learn from him to step out boldly and bravely, we should keep moving ever forward without getting stuck on how we want things to be. When the people shouted, "Save now," they meant save us from Rome. But Jesus had other ideas. He planned to save them from their preconceived expectations. He planned to save them from their old ideas of just what it meant for someone to be a king. He planned to restore them and redeem them and make them useful for God's kingdom, a kingdom quite unlike what they imagined. They wanted to be able to do whatever they wanted. They wanted to have all the perks and none of the works. They wanted their chance to turn the tables and the stables and give the Romans a taste of their own medicine. But Jesus had other plans. He wanted to show them what true power meant. It meant giving, not getting. It meant being humble, not haughty. It meant unchaining, not chastising. It was righteousness, not rioting. It was eternal, not earthly. God's kingdom was the total opposite of what they thought it would be and should be like. They hadn't a clue, or at least they had a clue right in front of them, one that they ignored, a donkey, the most unmilitary mount imaginable, and Jesus, the most unkingly king they could ever imagine. If they had known that, would they have still shouted Hosanna? Like everyone else who has ever encountered Jesus, the little donkey he rode that day was forever changed when the disciples returned it to its owner. It was now rideable and useful. It had proven its merit. It hadn't shied from the shouts of the crowd. It had done its job admirably well. Legend says that after dismounting, Jesus thanked the donkey for its patience and willingness and blessed it. From that time on, every donkey has sported a black stripe that goes all the way down its back and two stripes going down either shoulder, making the sign of the cross, a blessing bestowed on them forever by Jesus, the donkey whisperer. Let us pray. Dear God, you have sent to us a gentle king to gentle us. You have sent us the perfect Savior. Now he whispers to us, "Come follow me." Release us from our stubbornness. It's a genuine joy to be part of his entourage. Let Jesus break us, not into pieces, but into obedience to his will and trust in him. Help us to turn our ears to hear his voice and turn our hearts to follow him wherever he leads us. Amen.